If I could preach this whole sermon without looking at you, it would be better. Not because I don't love to see your faces, but because once you're in relationship with people, it starts to get a little harder to keep your composure when tough news is shared. Right? The next appointment that I'm being asked to serve will just be 8 miles down the road, but it's a completely different climate. It's a place in our district where affordable housing is still a real thing. It's where a lot of communities of color have resided for the last few decades, many recent immigrants. But it's also a place where good, faithful people like yourselves have failed to ask the question, how can we be a blessing to our community? And so the church has failed to respond in a lot of ways that I think people need church, especially now. Do you hear what I'm saying? They need centers, institutions like the local church that can be not only the place of hope, but the place where they can be inspired and activated to be blessings into their community. To keep on advocating for affordable housing, to keep on advocating for whole and healthy living in places where diabetes and ill health are just skyrocketing. That's the place that you and I are all called to go to. I just have the urging of a bishop saying, no, you really have to go if you want to get paid. All kidding aside, I'm grateful for the almost 2 years that I've been here. Very grateful. And I hope that the last 2 months that I have here as well will continue to be, just like Reverend Derek said, an outpouring of both all that is on our hearts, both grief and joy. Because that is surely what these liminal spaces, what these transition times carry. Right? That even as we want to do something that we're really excited about, it still means some doors closing. And in this case, actual movement. So, thank you in advance for the grace that you have shown, will show. And if it's a slow burn, just like Easter was, right? It kind of took a while to get that Easter joy. If it takes a while to get the joy back around this news, that's okay too. Beloved, let's pray together. God of life and light, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for a community that continues to trust in you no matter where you lead us. Thank you for the gathering in the house today, but we also are mindful of those who are not here because of illness, because of finally being able to take respite and vacation together. We ask you, oh God, that even with this news that has been shared, you might continue to speak to our hearts. You might continue to enliven our imaginations. You might continue to take us by the hand, call us your beloved children, and guide us as we go. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The church that I served before coming to Blaine Memorial was in Ellensburg, Washington. It's 110 miles east on I-90. Maybe some of you know it. Maybe some of your nieces or nephews or you yourself went to college there. It's a place that I served for 4 years, and while I was there, we started a campus ministry. We started a United Methodist outreach to the campus that was there. And the bedrock, the cornerstone, the foundational piece of that ministry was me wearing this this apron and cooking meals for college students in my home. And the one quarter that we moved off campus, because frankly I was tired of cleaning my home in order for 15 college students to kind of like converge like crows. Do you know how they do? Like just converge and then they all leave and I'm left with lots of dishes. So the one quarter that we moved off campus into the church's social hall was the time that our fellowship suffered the most. Food was still provided. The student leaders were still there. I was still there, but there was something about being in the home being able to be welcomed into the warmth of someone's home and being invited to sit at the table in someone's home, that those college students were pretty savvy and they stopped coming. So I put the apron back on. We went back to my house. I got a little bit better about assigning teams to help me prep and also to help me clean. And in my circles, I'm known as a baker. I'm known as somebody who puts that apron on and loves to do it and loves to cook for other people. And then I moved here, where then I was given this apron. And words like procurement started to come into my vocabulary, right, Tom Yoshioka? Procurement. There was all of a sudden such a well-oiled machine that brought about these feeding events. There was a team to go get the supplies. There was a team to clean the supplies that had been bought. There was a team to prep the space. There was a team to clean up the space. There's a team to cook rice. What? That's amazing. Coming here to Blaine Memorial, I learned that feeding and extending that welcoming table is not just something that you do sometimes at certain points of the year. It's something that fuels your very way of being. Jesus understands this, and so he sets a breakfast. He brings his own fish, even though he just helped the disciples catch one of their biggest nets full of fish. He brings his own supplies, and he invites them over a charcoal fire to come and gather and be fed. What I want you to take note of is this is an add-on. Scholars say, commentators of the Gospel of John say that this passage from John 21 that Steve read to us is an epilogue of sorts. It's the curtain has already come down on the show, and then here's a little postscript. It's like Jesus just can't get enough. He's got some unfinished business to take care of, and so someone thought that he needs to appear one more time. And what better way to appear than on the lakeshore and ready to feed others? Did you hear in the passage that they don't actually recognize it's Jesus until they see the meal? Beloved, there are so many in our society today who will not recognize Christ, but they will recognize the welcoming table. They won't recognize scriptures. They won't recognize the Christian narrative. They won't recognize the movement of God who is present in the Holy Spirit. They won't recognize any of that language, but they will recognize you and your hospitality and the table that you set for them. The cool part about being my age is that there are also a lot of other people my age at this church. And that's a pretty cool thing. I was invited to a hot pot meal. Do you see this, Donabe? I was invited to a hot pot meal at Jamie Yates's house. Actually, 10 of us were, and how we all fit around those two tables is kind of a miracle. But we did. We did. I was invited there, and let me just tell you, the sharing that happened at that table was an experience of the Holy Spirit. That was a sacred space. Everybody brought a little something. There was a sense of camaraderie and collegiality. It was like the family was doing its thing, getting ready for the meal. Some people were chopping, some people were washing, others were setting the table. We found our way around two of the pots that were there, and then we started to serve one another. And then we started to ask one another, oh, you can't eat this? Okay, well, maybe you should. What else can you eat? How else can I serve you? You see, when we set the table, all of a sudden, we are invited into relationship with one another, right? I can't eat at table with you and fail to notice that, Sharon, you are gluten-free. And so I'm going to make sure every time she comes up for communion that those gluten-free crackers are present. That's what happens when we eat together. And I think Jesus knows that. Which is why one of the only sacraments we have in the church is a sacrament that invites us to feed one another. Blaine Memorial feeds not only one another at these awesome potlucks that I heard about way before I came here. It doesn't just feed the community during bazaar and sukiyaki. We feed one another by inviting each other into each other's homes. By setting the table here, by saying that the table here, when we celebrate communion, is a wide open table. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to say a certain thing. You are welcome at this table. And beloved of God, know that that is the gospel that you are sharing. When you are able to acknowledge another's humanity and then feed them, not only in body but also in spirit, you are doing the work of the risen Christ. We started then, going back to this donabe, this meal that we had in September, more than 6 months ago. I thought, you know what, this is what I've been missing in my life. This form of community, this form of being known in a small group, like this is what Christian community is all about. And I swear if people just got a taste of this, they would know that this is real. So I sent out an email, and I started to probe, and I said, you know what? I have an inkling that this could be a thing. And the first person that I asked was Ryan Kozu, somebody who is a lover of good food. Y'all know this? You know this. Ryan knows this. If you look at his Instagram feed, it is full of good food pictures. The beautiful thing, though, about Ryan is that he also likes to create beautiful food. And so he was my number one partner in bringing this into a reality. Ryan was the one who thought through all the ingredients. He was the details guy. He bought all of the pots and the extra burners. He's the one who would go in the day before and get that broth going. He created the space for others to be fed. I'm not likening you to Peter, Ryan, but I'm going to liken you to Peter in that Ryan for me is a young adult who really is just an adult. I mean, we can probably drop the young at some point now, but one who has grown up in this community, and you all who have seen him grow up probably just think of him as like, that's just Ryan. It's one of the kids. Right? One of the kids. One of the kids who has grown into leadership and extends his heart's joy of feeding others really good food. And you know what Jesus says about Peter? Jesus says, you will go on to do even greater things than this. Greater than just hanging around and sampling people's food, Ryan. You are now feeding others. And the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus calls each of us to share our heart's joy, to go from more than just a bystander to one who's actually leading, to go from one who has only been fed by a community to then go and find other communities that they can feed. Jesus has a lot of unfinished business. We're told in the chapter right before it, in chapter 20, right after the resurrection story, right after the empty tomb passage, where Mary fails to recognize that Jesus is the gardener. It kind of ends. It says, now Jesus goes on to do many other things that aren't written down in this book. And then he appears again in the next chapter. Blaine, you and I have some unfinished business. We have more people to feed in body and in spirit. We have more questions to ask. How am I using my resources to feed not just those in the community, not just those in the orbit of blame, but how am I using my resources to feed those that I encounter Monday through Saturday? How am I being fed by the Spirit of Christ? And how, because this is characteristic of John's gospel, how am I showing my love of Jesus by loving my neighbor? We have some unfinished business, but this is why I'm giving thanks today. Is because even after June and even after July, you'll continue to do the work of Jesus. You'll continue to do the feeding work that Jesus instructs Peter to do. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my people. You'll continue to do that work even when I'm gone. You'll continue to do the work even when you leave this place, even when you go for a different job, even when you relocate to another part of town, even when you leave the comforts of what you associate with your life of faith, you'll continue to do this work. I can say that, and I know that, because I've lived with you, I've sat at table with you, I've shared in fellowship with you, and I'm so grateful. In the coming months, we'll continue to identify ways that we can be feeding the community. But y'all are good. You took my old apron and my inefficient ways of feeding people and showed me what's up. You showed me how to really do it. And I just think with that kind of foundation, beautiful and amazing things will happen as you continue to give yourselves away in love. Can we pray together? God, you want to feed us your very self. You want us to have abundant life, not just so we can get rich and be stable. You want us to have abundant life, and you want everyone else to have abundant life also. You continue to coax us to move out of our comfort zones and to share what we have, knowing that when we share what we have, you add yourself to the mix. It is blessed, and others experience this blessing. Thank you, God, for the times that we have taken simple meals and with you as the host, transform them into holy spaces. Thank you, oh God, for showing us that food is indeed one of your love languages. Thank you for showing us not only how to feed one another, but how to love one another well. We offer our very lives and the tables that we host to you, the one who desires to feed us with your Spirit, feed us with your justice, and feed us with your peace. We pray all these things in the name of Christ, through the power of your Spirit. Amen.